Hazard Audio.
This week, the duo get into fantasy football, the NFL preseason damage report, and your MLB update with the MVP race, the Cy Young Award, plus the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. We're here every single week. We're your hosts. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
Find us on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. With us, as always, is our producer, Johnny Five.
And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to cover fantasy football. A lot of people are having their drafts this weekend, so we're going to cover that. We're going to do an MLB update for you and, of course, Sports Madness. Let's start with some quick hits. We got a few stories we want to touch on, just spend a minute or so on each one. Let's start with the NFL, where Julio Jones got a contract extension. 5 years, $71.25 million, $47 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he did, and he is well worth it. He's arguably the best wide receiver in the game right now. In fact, his career averages so far are 15.6 yards per catch and 88.4 receiving yards per game, and those are the best in NFL history if he can keep that up for the rest of his career.
Yeah, you could easily make the case that he's the best receiver in the NFL right now. I think there's probably a group of guys at the top. There's like 5-6 guys who you could say you could make a good argument are the best receiver in the NFL, and he's right in there. This deal is worth just over $1 million more than the deal Demaryius Thomas got, and it's got about $3 million extra of guaranteed money. So he did a little better than Demaryius, but Demaryius is in that group too.
Demaryius Thomas is an excellent wide receiver, but I would consider Julio Jones just a little bit better. Our next quick hit comes to us from our nation's capital, or just outside, where the Redskins have what you would call a fluid quarterback situation. It looks like they're actually going to be starting Kirk Cousins over RG3 to start the season. Not a huge surprise. RG3 has been flat out bad, and his coach doesn't like him. It's not a recipe for a starting quarterback.
Plus, he reportedly has a concussion. ESPN's the one who originally reported that Kirk Cousins is going to be starting, and the Redskins are kind of denying that now, saying, oh, we don't know who we're going to start. Even Kirk Cousins is saying all the right things, like, oh, we'll see what happens. I don't really know. But it's going to be him. The team doesn't like RG3. His coach doesn't like him, like you said. I don't see any reason to start him.
No, and he hasn't shown that he's worth starting. After his incredible Rookie of the Year campaign in his first season, he's dealt with injuries. And even more important than the injuries, he looks like he's regressed. When you watch him on the field, he's not doing the things he used to do. He was a very accurate passer. He completed almost 70% of his passes in his rookie season. And he was throwing from in the pocket, on the run, doing all the right things, except for keeping himself out of trouble physically. But he just doesn't look like the same quarterback anymore. He looks tentative. His form is bad. He can't hit open wide receivers, so they shouldn't start him.
He needs to get out of Washington to save his career, and we may actually see improvement from him when he gets to a better situation.
Yeah, it's tough to be a worse situation than Washington.
That is true. Speaking of bad situations, during the Yankees-Braves game on Saturday night, a fan fell from the upper deck and landed in the 200 level. He fell about 50 feet, suffered major injuries, and then died just a little bit later on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, that's a very sad story. And fan safety has been in the news, especially in baseball, a lot lately, with a lot of people getting hit by foul balls and flying bat fragments and stuff. But this one takes the cake. And this one's a little different, too, because it seems much more preventable. You're going to have baseballs flying here and there when you go to a baseball game. But this guy just somehow slipped from the upper deck. When I was reading the initial news story before he had actually passed away, he was listed as being in grave condition. I've never even seen that before.
I've never heard that before either. That's really weird. I don't know what the answer to this problem is. It seems like we have a falling death every season. They've raised the minimum railing height on the upper decks, even the lower decks.
At the end of the day, people die in freak accidents. It happens not at baseball games. It's going to happen at baseball games. One of the leading ways people die is by slipping and falling in the house. So when you get a bunch of people together, similar stupid freak accidents are going to happen. I don't know if there really is a solution for it. It unfortunately is just going to keep happening. And our last quick hit comes to us from the Toronto Blue Jays, where Edwin Encarnacion is on a tear. In the last 7 days, Encarnacion is 11 for 24 with 6 homers and 20 RBIs. He's hitting .458 in the last week.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. On Saturday, he hit 3 home runs in one game. A 2-run home run, a 3-run home run, and a grand slam. He's the first Toronto player to do that since the 70s. He's just been absolutely on fire. The Blue Jays in general have been on fire. Since August 2nd, their run differential is plus 83.
And they were already leading the league or close to it in run differential. So they're just playing some lights out baseball right now. In fact, since the trade deadline, they actually have the best ERA in all of the American League. And pitching had been a big problem for them.
Well, I mean, getting David Price on your team will do that for you. As a Yankees fan, my only hope is that they're peaking too early. That's what I'm holding on to that, clinging to it. With that, let's throw the Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
And our first tweet comes to us from @JanesChristian1. How many ACL injuries have there been already?
Too many. Way too many. This preseason thing is just becoming a problem.
Yeah, too many. I saw an article about this last year claiming that there has been a rise in ACL injuries since the new collective bargaining agreement in football. And the reason for that, so this article claimed, was because the players actually negotiated for less contact and generally less intense preseason drills and preseason workouts. And because of that, they aren't game ready when they start actually taking contact. Their tendons and ligaments are not strong enough to take all the abuse that they get in a football game because they're not working out as hard in the preseason. So even though this is something that the NFL players made concessions to get, it's ending up hurting them most of all.
There's been a lot of talk about the non-contact rules in training camp kind of being an indirect cause of this. The preseason just needs to be shorter. 4 games is too many. None of the starters even play in the 4th game. I mean, it's not going to happen because owners are going to lose revenues for ticket sales. They're going to lose TV revenues. They'll never do that. But 2 games in the preseason is probably plenty.
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, then players are just going to be running into the same problem during the regular season if they don't change the off-season workout structure.
And our next tweet is getting a little existential on us, guys. It comes to us from @JSShaw15. How can there be a god when someone who auto-drafts wins the championship?
Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
I don't know how much it has to do with the Lord. But yeah, this is a good question. It just shows you the importance of working the waiver wire. You got to pick up the free agents that are available, you know, in the season. You have to be fluid with your roster. You got to be able to adapt. It's been said a lot of times, and I think it's true. You don't win the fantasy football championship on draft day. You win it on the waiver wire by adding replacement players for guys who got hurt or guys who get suspended or the star that comes out of absolutely nowhere that no one's ever seen before. Those are the guys that you have to get if you want to win the championship. And that's how auto draft teams win the championship. They're just super active on the waiver wire once the season starts.
Yeah, wasn't it you that told me a couple years ago you were debating between picking up Nick Foles and some other quarterback, and you ended up going with Nick Foles and they threw 7 touchdowns?
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, if your quarterback has a bye week and you could pick up any schmuck off the bench, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a 6 touchdown game last year. So those are the moves that really matter. You got to play the matchups.
I believe it's Fitzmagic.
It's Fitzmagic. You're right. I don't know how I got that wrong.
And our last one comes to us from Kyle via Facebook. Injuries aside, which QB will be the first to get benched this season? Peyton Manning is not an acceptable answer.
Cheap shot.
I never said Peyton Manning would be benched. I said they should rest him. Not that he would. I know they won't because they are short-sighted and they're going to screw themselves out of another championship
run. Oh, my God. Let's not start this again. Answer the question.
I got to go with Josh McCown. Josh McCown sucks. Somehow he managed to find lightning in a bottle when he was on the Bears and actually put up some really impressive numbers. That's not happening again. And from what I've seen from Johnny Manziel, who unfortunately is now dealing with a minor elbow injury, it looks like he's the much better quarterback. It should be Johnny Manziel within 2 or 3 weeks into the season.
A lot of teams around the league have a lot of stability at quarterback, so there's not really many options to choose from here. So I'm going to go with Buffalo, the most unstable situation that there is. I have no clue what's going to happen there. It looks like Tyrod Taylor might be the guy, but I would not be surprised at all if they have a carousel of quarterbacks coming in and out. EJ Manuel looked really good in his 3rd preseason game, so you never know what's going to happen to Buffalo.
EJ Manuel will look really good for certain games, and then he just looks terrible in other games. So, yeah, you never know. I certainly wouldn't put my trust in him, but they need to find a new answer at quarterback because none of those guys are the answer.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Hey, it's Sports Appeal. We're going to talk some fantasy football, but before we do that, we need to let you guys know that we're changing up our scheduling a little bit. We usually record on the weekend and post the episode on Monday nights, but football season is around the corner, and that format doesn't really work for Sunday games, so we're going to start recording it on Wednesdays and have it posted for you guys hopefully by Thursdays. We're going to start this coming week, so we're going to have an episode on Monday and another one coming out Thursday, and then we'll resume the once-a-week format. So essentially, you're getting a bonus episode this week.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love free podcasts? They're all free. All right, so let's move on to fantasy football. It's my favorite time of the year. A lot of people are drafting this weekend. Matt, you and I have our draft later today. I am super excited.
I know you are. I'm stoked too. It's my first time doing fantasy, but hoping to pick it up quickly. I watch enough sports, so hopefully I'll be all right. But first, I figure I want to get in some last-minute drafting advice. In preparation for that, I'm going to ask Steve some fantasy football questions, and we can all learn something. So first of all, how does Jordy Nelson's injury affect the rest of the Packers' fantasy value?
Well, Aaron Rodgers' value is not affected very much at all. It's just kind of next man up for the Packers. So he's still going to be the number one or number two fantasy quarterback this year. It's him and Andrew Luck. So either one of those guys, and you can't go wrong. Randall Cobb has seen a big boost in his average draft position since Jordy Nelson went down. He's being taken in the first round in a lot of drafts. I'm not that high on him. I don't think he's going to see that big of a boost. They're still going to use him in largely the same way as they would have before. He might see a few more balls, but I think the biggest boost is going to be to Devontae Adams. He moves up from the number three receiver to the number two receiver. He's a starter now on the outside. He has all the potential in the world. He's going to see the biggest fantasy boost out of this whole group.
Now, which first-round pick makes you the most nervous?
That's an easy one. It's DeMarco Murray. He's so injury-prone. He's had a couple of full seasons, but he gets hurt a lot. And with Chip Kelly's offense, you never know what Chip Kelly's going to do. He's got Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles behind him. Drafting DeMarco in the first round makes me nervous. He definitely has the potential to be one of the best running backs in the NFL in fantasy. I would probably wait until the second round to take him just because I'm a little bit nervous about his injuries. Also a little nervous about CJ Anderson. He has not looked good in the preseason.
Plus, on DeMarco Murray, factor in just how much of a workhorse he was last year.
Right.
A lot of running backs who have seasons like that don't come back the same afterwards.
Absolutely true.
And if you could draft only one rookie, which one would you take?
Probably Amari Cooper. I'm a little bit nervous about him because of the quarterback situation there. Derek Carr is fine. He's not great. He's all right. But I'd probably go with Amari Cooper. I really like Todd Gurley. He's not healthy. He's going to miss one or two games. So that knocks him down a little bit. But if I have to take one, I'm taking Amari Cooper. There are some other good options out there, but that's who I would take.
Now, who should go first overall in a standard league?
Adrian Peterson is absolutely the answer. I would say Le'Veon Bell, but he's got the suspension. So Adrian Peterson leapfrogs him to number one. He's been unstoppable in the past. He is unstoppable. He's an amazing player. He gets yards. He gets touchdowns. I think he's even going to be catching the ball a little bit more this year. So I'm real high on Adrian Peterson.
Which current non-starter at any position do you think has the most value and why?
It's got to be a running back. Running backs get hurt a lot. There's a lot of running back by committee things going on. So Ameer Abdullah in Detroit, another rookie, a lot of people are really high on him. He's got a good opportunity to overtake Joik Bell as the starter there. Joik Bell also gets injured a lot. So a lot of people really like Ameer Abdullah. David Cobb in Tennessee has a great chance to actually end up being the starter over Bishop Sankey. He's currently not the starter, so I like him a lot. And also Ronnie Hillman, just because I do have questions about CJ Anderson. He hasn't looked good in the preseason, and Hillman has looked phenomenal. So if you're looking at a non-starter, it's got to be a running back.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me, but I still think that it's more likely to be Johnny Manziel just because he's not going to be a starter come opening day, but Josh McCown's not the answer there. So I fully expect Johnny Manziel to become a starter, and considering his game, he runs a lot, and running quarterbacks tend to do well in fantasy. That would be my vote.
Yeah, I think Johnny will get an opportunity to start this year. But as far as value goes, I don't really, he's not going to be, you know, a top 15 quarterback. He's not going to be a top 20 quarterback. These other guys, if they get the starting job, can be that top tier type of player.
Everybody loves a sleeper pick. Who's it going to be this year?
I'm looking at two guys. They're both wide receivers. Devontae Parker, he's a rookie wide receiver out of Louisville. He's going in the 10th, 11th round right now in ESPN standard leagues. He could be the number one receiver there. They have Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills, but this kid has all the potential in the world. He's a big physical guy. He's fast. I really, really like Devontae Parker. And the other one is Brandon Coleman. He's undrafted right now in ESPN standard leagues. He's a Saints wide receiver. He's 6'7", and he's getting a lot of reps with the first team. So as far as an undrafted sleeper, I'd really look at Brandon Coleman.
And I've got a couple questions about drafting strategy. What are your thoughts on drafting multiple players from the same team?
I think it's fine. It depends on the team. Last year, I had Peyton Manning and Emmanuel Sanders. They're on the same team, and there were a lot of Manning to Sanders touchdowns, so it worked out great. But if you wouldn't want to take Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson, you know, because the Jaguars don't score a lot of points. So it really depends on the team. I do like the quarterback wide receiver combination more than taking, say, a running back and a wide receiver on the same team, because then they're taking points away from each other, whereas a quarterback and wide receiver can both score for one touchdown.
And how much do you take bye weeks into consideration?
A little bit. You know, it's a tiebreaker. I don't necessarily center my draft around that. You don't want to have six guys with the same bye week, so you need to look at it. But if you have two or three guys that all have byes on week six, it's not that big a deal. Probably be taking a loss that week, but if you like those players more, just take them.
What are some of the top defense and special team options this year?
Defense and special teams is interesting. I'm glad you asked. I'm not a big proponent of drafting defense and special teams early. Some people will jump ahead and grab Seattle in the 8th round or the 9th round, and I do not like that at all. You can still be getting a player with good offensive value there. And defense are so volatile that they change so much from one year to the next. You never know who's going to be the best defense. But if you do want to do that, I do like Seattle's defense this year. The Jets defense is looking really nice. I like the Dolphins defense a lot too. Like I said, wait till the late rounds to take a defense and just take the best available one. It's so hard to predict.
Good stuff, Steve. Hopefully with your advice, the student can take on the master and I'll be able to take you out this year.
Good luck, buddy.
Now with that, let's move on to the real NFL with some preseason damage reports. Damage!
There have been a lot of injuries in the preseason, as we just talked about. Today's Sunday. Last night, the Packers played the Eagles. Got whooped, by the way. They had 4 starters leave the game with injuries. It's really becoming an epidemic.
Every team's being affected. I was watching the Bears yesterday get destroyed by the Bengals. In the first half, they went down 21-0 at one point. Big part of the reason for that is the Bears' top 4 wide receivers are all out with injuries. I mean, every team has just been hit so hard by injuries here.
Yeah, we talked about the non-contact rules for training camp and how it's affecting the players' resiliency. But what teams should be using the preseason for anyway is for the guys at the bottom of the roster who are fighting for spots on the team. They know who the starters are going to be. They know what the starters can do. I understand wanting to have a dress rehearsal and get a game under your belt, but for the most part, they should have the guys in there who they want to see what they have.
I mean, isn't that kind of what they do already, though? You'll usually give your first team like 1 or 2 series, if that, in the first couple games, and then the third game is the dress rehearsal where the starters will play into the third quarter. But I don't know if they can really go that much more extreme with not playing their starters.
Why not? I mean, Dez Bryant hasn't played a down all preseason. The Redskins lost their starting tight end in the first preseason game. Yeah, it's only 1 or 2 series, but it still happens. You know, they should not be in there. If you want to play them for one game, fine. I get that. But you should have the other guys in there that are fighting for a roster spot. They're fighting for a job. If they don't make the team, they can't feed their families. Let them get in there and show what they can do. Now, all that being said, you know, the preseason really means nothing. The Bills scored like 48 points yesterday, and I don't expect them to do that at all this season.
Yeah, if you want an example of the preseason meaning nothing, I'll give you 2. The 1985 Bears, considered one of the greatest teams of all time, they went 0-4 in the preseason. The 2008 Lions are considered the worst team of all time. They went 4-0 in the preseason.
They didn't win a game in the regular season. They won 4 in the preseason, 0 in the regular season, 0-16. And the year the Patriots went 16-0, guess what? 0-4 in the preseason.
And that's because they used preseason the right way to figure out what works and what doesn't without actually exhausting their players.
Amen. He agreed with me.
After the break, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball and go to Sports Madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going to look at the MVP race and the Cy Young race. Starting the American League, looking at the MVP, it's got to be Mike Trout, right?
Yeah, no one else is really close. Mike Trout is having another incredible season, as he always does. He's really going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. I mean, right now he's sitting at a .303 batting average on his career, slugging .554 for a career OPS of .949. Whew. That is a good player right there.
The kid's a natural. I disagree with you that nobody's close, though. I think Josh Donaldson is close. He's hitting .300 with 35 homers and 104 RBIs. And he's a better defensive player than Mike Trout is. Mike Trout's good. He's okay at defense, but Josh Donaldson is really good.
Yeah, you can definitely make the argument for Josh Donaldson, but I still have to go with Mike Trout.
And Donaldson does have more help. Three of the top five RBI guys in the American League are Toronto Blue Jays, so Donaldson does have more help than Trout does, although he does have Pujols, so. The National League is a lot more competitive for the MVP. You got Bryce Harper, who is the runaway favorite right now. We've also got Paul Goldschmidt, who, you know, it's possible that Paul Goldschmidt could win the Triple Crown and Bryce Harper could win the MVP.
Yeah, it is possible. I know both of those guys are having great seasons. Bryce Harper is the runaway favorite. I can't go with him just because his team, as it stands right now, isn't going to make the playoffs.
True.
And I don't expect them to make the playoffs. They're playing about .500 baseball right now, if even. I have to go with Buster Posey. His offensive numbers aren't quite as impressive, but he's on a team that's still contending for a wild card spot and has made up some ground in that race that was starting to look like it was getting out of hand for them. I believe they're within about 5 games back of the Cubs for the second wild card spot right now after being down 7.5 games going into this week. But then they took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs and then beat the Cardinals. But Buster Posey's offensive numbers are very good. He's hitting .313 with 16 homers, which is really good for a catcher. And that's the other thing, is he's a catcher. Defensively, he's fantastic. It's very tough to get a guy who can hit that well and play the catcher position as well as he does, because it's such a physically demanding defensive position, and he's thrown out almost 50% of base stealers on the season.
Yeah, you make some good points. Paul Goldschmidt is awesome defensively, too. He's a Gold Glove first baseman, so he leads the National League in RBIs right now. He is third in batting average, and he's sixth in home runs, so he's a really good candidate for this. I know his team's not a playoff team, but he really has a good shot at the Triple Crown. He's the best shot we have this year. And if he wins it, I think you got to give him some serious consideration for MVP.
Yeah, this is not an easy one to pick.
No.
Paul Goldschmidt, Bryce Harper, Buster Posey, any of those guys could be very respectable MVPs. No complaint about anybody getting robbed if any of those other guys make it. Frankly, though, if the Nationals were the playoff team that they really should be, considering the talent on that roster, it would be Bryce Harper, and there wouldn't be any debate about it. But it just matters too much how good your team is around you.
Just to throw another name into the conversation, he's on another crappy team, but Nolan Arenado, just having a fantastic season in Colorado. So let's talk about the Cy Young Award. Start in the National League, where Zach Greinke is just blowing everybody away. His ERA is 1.61 for the season. That's unheard of.
Yeah, as much as I would love to go with Jake Arrieta, who really is putting up a great season with
Homer.
A 2.22 ERA, yeah, I got to go with the hometown guy, but I can't. Zach Greinke has been too dominant, as well as Jake Arrieta's pitch, and he has the second best ERA right now of all National League starters. Zach Greinke's ERA is a full half a point lower, more than half a point lower, actually. And then his whip is a 0.85. That is staggeringly low.
Greinke's having a historic season. You know, normally Arrieta would be in the conversation for Cy Young this year, and so would Clayton Kershaw, who has 236 strikeouts right now, which is way more than anybody else in the top 10 in ERA right now. So there's some really, really strong pitching in the National League this year, but Greinke, I mean, how can you argue with 1.61?
No, you can't. There's no argument. He's absolutely the shoe-in for the Cy Young this year. Now, moving on to the American League, there's a lot more going on there. It's a lot more clustered at the top of the pitching performances there. Sonny Gray is leading the AL in ERA with 2.13, but he's got a bunch of guys right on his heels. Dallas Keuchel and David Price are right there.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel's my guy. I love the way this kid pitches. His ERA is 2.28, so he's right behind Sonny Gray, and he's on a winning team. He's 15-6 this year, which I realize wins are not the greatest stat for pitchers, but it's still an impressive record, and his whip for the season is 1.0 even.
Yeah, Sonny Gray's whip is just a little bit lower with 0.98. I'm going to have to go with him for my Cy Young winner, at least at this point. But Dallas Keuchel is just right there, too.
Sonny Gray is not on a playoff team, and that's the argument that you were just making for MVP.
Yeah, but it's not an argument for Cy Young. I don't know why that's the case. Well, most valuable player is most valuable to your team. Cy Young is the best pitcher.
I disagree. I think it matters how good your team is. A pitcher needs to be able to carry his team to the playoffs. I really think it's a factor. I really do.
I've just never heard that being used as an argument in Cy Young discussions.
You have now. I've never heard anyone suggest to bench Peyton Manning before, but hey, here we are.
All right, with that craziness, let's take it to Sports Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Sports Madness.
Our first story involves Pro Bowl center and crime fighter Nick Mangold. His car alarm went off at 5:30 in the morning last week, so he called the police. When the police showed up, they arrested five people who were suspected in a string of burglaries. 48 burglaries that have recently occurred in the New Jersey area.
Good for him. He's moonlighting as a crime stopper. He's a fucking superhero over here.
Shaq became a police officer in Miami. I don't think he's ever stopped this many criminals. And Mangold probably has a better free throw percentage, too.
Our next Sports Madness story comes to us from the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, who banged his head during the playoff game against the Packers last year. He credits his quick recovery from it to Reliant Recovery Water, which he is an investor of. So,
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no ulterior motive there. He said, I banged my head during the Packers game in the playoffs, and the next day I was fine. It was the water. Since then, he has, in fact, doubled down. He doesn't actually think that it cured his concussion.
Uh-huh.
He said that recovery water helped prevent him from getting a concussion.
Except he had a concussion, and then the next day he was cleared from the concussion. So, I don't know what he's talking about here. And apparently there's reports that it helped cure another teammate's knee injury. So, I don't know what kind of water he's drinking here.
Sounds like holy water.
Yeah.
It does sound like holy water. That's some high-quality H2O. All right, our last story is my favorite one for the week. Ike Adampale, the crazy linebacker who broke Geno Smith's jaw, was involved in an incident back in 2011 when he was at college at Louisiana Tech, Carl Malone University. Apparently, he had arranged to have relations with a woman, and when he arrived at the woman's house, she answered the door fully cloaked in a blanket. So he was spooked, obviously, and left. He said that a phone rang, and when the screen lit up, he could see that the person under the blanket had facial hair. So this raised his suspicions a little bit. Apparently, he left the house and then came back when the person convinced him to come back, but he was only there for one reason. He punched the dude slash lady in the face. Once he punched this person, their voice changed back to that of a male.
Understandably a little surprised. I don't know if that's the appropriate response is to go ahead and deck him.
Well, he said when the voice changed, he
got a little more than he bargained for.
Well, and he said he suspected he was being targeted for robbery. So he left through the window of the house that he was in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This guy's judgment is less than stellar.
So let's get this straight. So he arranges to have relations with this woman, gets there, sees facial hair. She calls him and convinces him to come back. So he does, and then he punches him in the face and leaves through the window because he thought he was being robbed by this woman, even though he came back. I really feel like this calls for a punchline, but IK already beat me to it.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Join us for the second show of the week this Thursday on Sports Appeal. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. And playing us out is going to be Riverbanks by Full Service. Oh, I'll keep your head above
I'm not afraid to
And I don't know what more you could do to keep people from falling.
Trampolines.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Hazard Audio.